Each year as we come to this first Sunday of the year, I am drawn to Philippians chapter 3 because Paul writes about himself in a way that really describes us as aging Christians. So if you have a Bible, please turn with me this morning to Philippians 3. We're going to be studying 12 through 15. Now, we've been here before. It says, not that I have already reached the goal or am already perfect, but I make every effort to take hold of it because I have been taken hold of by Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and reaching forward to what is ahead, I pursue as my goal the prize promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let all of us who are mature think this way. And if you think differently about anything, God will reveal this also to you. Marla, I'm going to send you some slides here. I'm sorry. I started doing that in the middle of this and messed up. I believe this passage of Scripture is a good place to start the year, especially for us, because a lot of us in this room have been believers for a long time. Many of us have been believers for so long that our testimony is, hey, I don't remember actually when I decided I was going to follow Jesus. Some of us would say, it was so long ago that maybe I remember how old I was when I think I did that, but not exactly. It's really not the date. I definitely don't remember the date that it happened. And yet there are others of us that would say, hey, I've only been a believer for a couple of years. I'm just dabbling in this. I just got started. And so you're starting out on the other end in this new year. The danger for all of us is that we get comfortable in where we are as a believer. We get comfortable in our walk with the Lord and we say, hey, I've got it all figured out. I've been doing the things. I've done the things. I've led Bible study. I led children's church. I did worship. I went through all the positions in the church. I even tried to do the slides and the things and I've done all of that. The Apostle Paul, having known who God was from what we know of the Old Testament, having his own experience and appointment with the Lord Jesus on the road to Damascus. You guys remember that story? Paul was on the road to Damascus. He was going to persecute more Christians. He'd been doing that already. It was like it was his job. He just went to hurt people. And in the middle of that road, Jesus stopped him in his tracks and said, nope, I have other plans. You're going to suffer for what you've done, but I've got things for you to do. Paul, having found company with the disciples that walked with Jesus, he planted churches himself. He shared the gospel countless times, far more than any of us, I promise, because it was his job. That Apostle Paul wrote to the church in Philippi and said, I don't have it figured out yet. I'm not a perfect Christian yet. I'm not finished yet. God's not finished with me yet. I'm still working it out. There's still a lot to be refined and reformed in me. He says, I don't think I'm doing all of this perfectly. Some of us are perfectionists. We have to be very careful with our scissors and our tape and our glue, and we put things together exactly according to the instructions, or we throw it away. If there aren't instructions, we make it as beautiful as we can. For a while in college, I did pottery my first couple of years at Evangel, and that was really fun for me, and I really enjoyed it. It's very therapeutic. except when I was learning to do it. And it wasn't therapeutic when I was learning it because I didn't know how to shape my hands. Elizabeth, go to my office now. Sorry, everybody. I didn't know how to shape my hands. And so the things that I tried to make would fail and fall over, and I'd squash them and throw them away because I'm sort of a perfectionist. I like things to look as good as I can make them. And so at the end of the semester, the first semester, I had like 3 final projects. That was it. That's all I made out of the whole semester. I kept 3 things because it didn't go well. Paul said, I don't think I'm doing all of this perfectly. I'm not settling for who I've been, what I've done, where I've gone. I don't think, even after everything else, that I have taken a hold of this. I don't think that I've got it figured out. Paul was there. He wanted to express, I don't have it figured out. And that's where we should be also. The unfortunate thing is, as believers, we tend to go the other way. We get stagnant and lethargic. We get to a point of, hey, I've been doing all the things. I'm done now. I've done all the stuff I want to do. I've grown as far as I can grow. We set goals for ourselves in every other aspect of our lives. We say, next year I'm going to have a better job. I'm going to make more money. And we work for that. We say next year, or in this next year, I'm finally going to get healthy. I'm going to lose 15 pounds the first month. I'm getting it done. I'm doing it. I'm going to hit personal records on the bench press. I'm going to do it. We set goals for our health. We set goals for our relationships. We're going to work on things this year. I'm going to talk nicely to my wife at least 3 times this month. I promise. I'm going to do it. I'm just kidding. She's out of the room, so I can say whatever I want. I'm going to be a better parent. I'm not going to yell at my kids so much. Instead, I'm going to be a gentle parent. That's a trend on the internet that's really dumb, where you're just nice to your kids and you let them do whatever they want. That's not a good way to parent. We set these goals and we say, with our relationship with the Lord, hey, it's good enough. I go to church on Sundays. That's good enough. And if we do set goals for our Christian life, they end up being just like that gym membership that you've bought every year. Maybe some of you have stopped buying the gym memberships. I'm hoping to stop buying the gym memberships. In that you're going to read the Bible in a year this year, only to fall off January 15th. Well, I missed January 14th. Now I can't read any more Bible this year. I'm off my plan. The plan is over. I missed a day. I was supposed to be fasting anyway, and then Ron brought me a sandwich that had the right things on it, broke my fast, and I just fall off everything. What are we supposed to do? There are 3 things I see in this passage of Scripture, which probably still didn't go to the computer, which is fine. We're in Philippians chapter 3. If you have your Bible, please turn there. Paul says 3 things. He says, first, that he considers Jesus. Second, that he forgets the past. And third, that he pursues the prize. So those are the 3 things we're going to focus on this morning. Consider Jesus. Forget the past. And pursue the prize. Paul says here, I make every effort to obtain perfection because of Jesus. I know I don't have it. But Jesus has me. Phoenix. Shh. I can't talk over you the whole time, buddy. He says, I don't have perfection, but I want it so much because of who Jesus is. Jesus has me. He took me from nonsense. He saved me and everything that I am. I want to be perfect. I don't have it yet, but look at the Lord. Look at the cross. Look at the price that he paid. Jesus had taken hold of Paul, his experience on the road to Damascus, everything that followed from that. He had a real and lasting impact on Paul's life. He had a relationship with the triune God. He knew who God was. He knew who the Holy Spirit was. He knew who Christ the Lord was. For many of us, our conversion story isn't nearly that glamorous. You were led to Christ as a child, and so maybe you've only known God your whole life. Your testimony is simple. For some of us, we got saved, we prayed the sinner's prayer, and now we're at a place of what's next. I don't have to do anything except show up to church, right? And sometimes put a little bit of money in the plate. Do we just go about our lives trying to be a do-gooder instead of a ne'er-do-well? Paul says he considers Jesus. Paul's example for us here is that the next thing for all of us is to consider Jesus. Think about all the good things that Jesus has done for you and in you, because it's a lot. Consider first your salvation, then the specific moments in your life where God intervened, because there have been times. Rhonda was just telling me the other day about the times over their vacation where God was very present. Where she had very significant things going on. I told you guys the story of our little vacation trip where God had to be there. Otherwise, we wouldn't have made it. Think about those things. Consider Jesus. And if you don't have those, if you feel an underwhelming sense of God's not doing anything in my life, which you may feel, that's an honest feeling. God's not doing anything for me. He's not doing anything in me. He's not doing anything. I know I got saved. But if you're at that point, we go more basic than that. We go more basic. We have to go to the beginning and give God glory for creation at that point. We go more basic and go back to creation and give God glory for everything that he's done ever since. As believers, one of the most important things that we can do, especially as we enter into the new year, is to put God in his rightful place. We need to put him in his rightful place in our lives and in our church. As a church, we understand that our purpose for existing is to glorify God, to honor him, and to ensure that he is weighted correctly in our lives. Paul directs us to do the same here, because I have been taken a hold of by Jesus. He says, I want to be perfect. He says, consider the Lord. The second thing that he says is to forget the past. I just shared with you one of the most important things that we can do as believers is to remember all the good things that God has done in us. But the next thing that Paul tells us here is that he, the Apostle Paul, has to forget so much. I have to forget the past. And that's the next important thing for us to do, to forget. Elaine, come up here and stand with me, please. There are things holding you back in your walk with the Lord. Those things we have to stand away from. Those things we have to step away from. There's stuff in your life that separates you from who God wants you to be. There are things in your walk that are holding you back in your walk with the Lord, and those things we have to step away from. One of the things that I struggle with is overwhelming successes in the past. Hi, baby. It's one of the things I get stuck on. Let me tell you why. Our youth group used to be 40 or 50 kids. When Eden and I were in youth group, it was like 50 kids. We kicked the adults out of the sanctuary. The adults were meeting on Wednesday night at the same time. We kicked them out of the sanctuary. They had to go to the basement at the old church. And there were so many of us moving in the sanctuary that it felt to the adults like the ceiling was going to drop out above them. We got in trouble on a regular basis, whether we was jumping or not, because there were so many of us. That's an overwhelming success. And so that in my life becomes a discouragement when I look at a youth group of 4, 5, 6 kids. What are we doing? Well, what we're doing is raising up younger ones. But in that moment, what does it feel like? Just not any good at this. Kids don't want to come here and listen to me talk. They don't want to hang out with me and Eden. They don't want to do anything like that. They got better things to do. And that's fine. But overwhelming successes can get in our way. It's something we have to forget. Next thing that I was thinking about for myself was our own mistakes. There are things in our lives that we've done wrong, our failures, our shortcomings, and those have a tendency to keep us from expanding into new and better things that God has for us in the next year and in the rest of our lives. Stuff that we've done wrong. That gets me. I sucked at this once. I'm going to suck at it again. I'm never going to do it. I'm done. I want to tell you the story of Adam Johnson learning how to play guitar really quick. I don't play guitar. Everybody knows that? I don't play guitar. I'll tell you why. Because there are times in my life where I've picked up a guitar. I've owned like 4 of them. There's one in my office right now, and people will come in and say, oh, you play guitar? No, I don't. But it's nice. It's nice that it sits there. Every time that I've started to pick up the guitar and learn the guitar, I have like 0 free time. And that's just the way that I live my life. I have always lived my life in a way that I don't have free time. I don't. I work 2 jobs and then I do other things and I do other things. I've just got other passions and things. And so I've picked up a guitar and said, okay, I'm going to learn the guitar. And I've got like 30 minutes a week to give to that guitar. And inevitably, someone else in my life has decided around the same time to learn how to play the guitar. And so they spend 3 weeks learning how to play guitar, and I spend 3 weeks learning how to play guitar, and I've got an hour and a half into it, and they've got 72.5 hours that they've already devoted to this thing. And I stop. Because I suck at it. Because I just don't have it in me to give that much devotion to it. So I let that get in the way. And I'm not saying I'm going to pick up guitar and suddenly give it more effort or anything like that. I'm not. We have phenomenal guitar players in our church for a reason. God said Adam doesn't need to know how to play guitar. That's fantastic. We got Robert and Ron and Rick, and I think Braden's been dabbling in that, and it's fine. You guys do great jobs at all of those things. But in that, my own mistakes have kept me from going that direction. One of the things that gets in the way, something that I need to forget if that's something I want to grow in. The next thing that gets in the way is the mistakes of others. Anybody want to raise their hand? They've been hurt by somebody else's mistakes? No? Just me? It's a lot of us. You don't have to actually raise your hands. Paul wrote to the church in Corinth and he said, you say you love people, but you don't. Love keeps no records of wrongs. That's not exactly the way that he said it, but in his paragraph, chastising the church for not being any good at loving people, he says, love bears, it keeps no record of wrongs. The mistakes of others get in the way of us moving forward. Because in one way or another, they've hurt us, they've insulted us, they've done something that stops us from being able to do what God wants us to do. Next thing is church hurt. And that kind of goes with the last thing, but it doesn't because it's separate, because church hurt is family hurt. And we've been hurt by church stuff. It may have been something that I did or said. I've had people show up on my front porch and put their finger in my face to tell me about how all the things that we've done wrong, and we never saw them again. There's been a lot of people that have filtered through here. There's been a lot of things that have hurt us. There's been a lot of people that I know that have been hurt by people. May have been a previous pastor or church leader. It may have just been bullies in the church. There are a lot of churches that have just little cliques of people that run everything. I try really hard not to be that way. But I hear a lot of horror stories about that on the internet. Most people who go to a church or have gone to a church have been hurt by a church. Most people who say they've been a Christian in the past and aren't now have been hurt by a church. There's an entire wave of people going through the evangelical church right now that say that they are deconstructing their faith. They're dismantling their belief system from the beginning because they've been hurt by church, because church leaders failed. There was a study that came out last year that named hundreds and hundreds of church leaders who had done inappropriate things with children. Church hurt, because we suck sometimes. We have to move past some of that. Burnout is another thing that we have heard that keeps us from doing the next thing. Because I've been in this position for a long time and I'm tired. I've been doing this forever and we're done now. I'm burned out. Negative experiences in general, all of those things, successes and failures, Paul says, I forget the past. It's a wonderful thing about yesterday. You never have to endure yesterday again. You never have to live through last week again, except in your mind. And Paul says, I forget. Elaine, no more talking. Paul says, I forget what is behind and reach forward to what is ahead. To forget means to put out of your mind. Paul says, I do this because it's an action. It's a thing that he decided. I forget. Some things cause us to forget. As we get older, we forget details and we forget things and dates get fuzzy and all of that stuff. But Paul says, forgetting what is behind. He says, I'm doing this. There are so many things that could fall into this category of the past. We have to forget. We have to. If we don't do that, we can't do the next thing. If we don't forget the past, we can't do the next thing, and that is to pursue the prize that is promised. To pursue the prize that is promised. For the last several months, we've been studying in the book of Romans, and we've been learning about all the things that it means to be called by God. All the wonderful promises that God puts together. So that it isn't just a life of service, but a life of blessing and abundance and wonderful things and an eternity in perfection with Jesus. We're called heirs with Christ. The Bible says that we glorify God and He in turn glorifies us. And it says that time after time in the book of Romans. And that's confusing to me. Because God should not be putting me in any place of honor, but He does. That's who He is. That's what He promised. We run forward reaching for the prize. We can only do that if we forget the past. And that prize being that God puts us in a place of honor, that he glorifies us. 2 Thessalonians 2:14 says, he called you to this through our gospel so that you might obtain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's the goal there? Why were you called? So that you could obtain the glory. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, we all with unveiled faces are looking in a mirror at the glory of the Lord and are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. That's the process for us. That we are transformed and glorified. 1 Peter 5:10 says, the God of all grace who called you to his eternal glory in Christ. What did he call us to? He called us to glory. That's the promise. Romans 8:30, right out of the book we've been studying for the last 7 months. And those who he predestined, he also called. And those he called, he also justified. And those he justified, he also glorified. Those that he called, he put in a position of magnificence. God takes you and puts you up in a place so that you could be honored. That's confusing to me. I struggle with that because I know who I am. But Paul says, forget the past so that you can pursue this. This is the wonderful nature of God. It is the wonderful reality of our prize. We glorify God, he glorifies us. That is the prize that we are promised, the thing that we pursue, and God gives us. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen. We're told to do three things. Consider Jesus. Forget the past, and that one's hard. And pursue the prize that was promised. Then Paul goes on in verse 15, and he says, therefore, let all of us who are mature think this way, and if you think differently about anything, God will reveal this also to you. He said, those of us who are mature need to think this way about ourselves, that we aren't finished yet. We can't count ourselves out just because we know a little bit. Because we've known the Lord for a little while. There's a maturing that needs to happen, and in that, we have to forget, we consider the Lord, and we move forward and grow. As we look forward, pushing towards a goal, the prize that was promised by God's heavenly call in Christ Jesus, as we go into the new year, we must consider Jesus. We must let go of the past. We must pursue the prize. How do we do that? We've talked as a church for a long time about who we are. And we created some distinctives a few years ago that said we wanted to be a church that loves God and loves people. We want to be a church that gives. We want to be overwhelmingly generous. We want to be giving people. We want to be a church that prays. We take everything that we have before the Lord, before the throne of grace, and we say, God, it's yours now. We want to be a church that worships, where we spend time, effort, finances, all the things so that we make beautiful music together, we worship together, we change our hearts so that we exist as people who worship. Every day. You know, the reality is every one of us this morning came to church late because in heaven, angels are praising God every moment of the day. They've been praising God since the beginning of time. We join in with that to worship. And we will all leave today before worship is over. The songs weren't done just because Robert stopped singing. Worship goes on. Praise goes on. We join it for little bits and pieces of our week. We want to be a church that worships, a church that really takes ourselves and puts ourselves into that position to join heavenly hosts and sing hallelujah. We want to be a church that grows. We want more people here, sure. But we want to be maturing Christians who every year as we come back to the first Sunday of the year, we can look back at the last year and say, whoa, God did some stuff in me. I'm different. I had somebody the other day say, oh, I know you. And the thought that went through my head was, well, I hope you don't, because we haven't talked in a while. I hope you don't know who I am anymore, because you knew who I was 10 years ago. And God has done incredible things since then. And I'm not that person. I've got friends that still try to maintain contact today and that I have ongoing sort of relationships with, but we don't connect on anything anymore. Because God has done things in my life and I'm not the same. And as a church, we want to be people who next year, hey, I'm different. I'm different because of Jesus. So that's what we pursue. That's what we do. Also, we remember our purpose as a church, to glorify God. John 15:8 says, my Father is glorified by this, that you produce much fruit and prove to be my disciples. That's what we want to do. You want to bring glory to the Father? Produce fruit. Prove yourself on a regular basis. We're supposed to equip the saints. As a church, we're supposed to be giving you everything that you need so that you can be followers of God. Colossians 1:28 says, we proclaim Him, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. That's our goal. We want to share the gospel. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making His appeal through us, we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. That's evangelism. That's what it means to evangelize people. We are ambassadors for Christ. God makes His appeal through us. What evidence do they have in the world that Christ exists? Maybe nothing except you. And we plead on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So we're in a new year. Robert, could you come? Ron, you can join him if you want. I don't care. We have a whole worship team, just Robert, whatever. We're going to have a time of communion here in just a moment. We come into a new year. The same old people. Feeling the same old way as we felt yesterday. I would challenge us not to be set in our ways, not to be stagnant or lethargic, but to come into this new year and say, I don't have it all figured out yet, but because of Jesus and the cross, I want to. I'm forgetting about the past and I'm pursuing the promise of the call of the Lord Jesus. That's where I want to be this morning. Amen. Let's pray and then we'll go into a time of communion. God, it is your word that directs us and gives us life. I ask that you would help us to do the things that you've called us to do and to be the people that you've called us to be. God, I thank you that we are able to have this time here together to glorify you. God, help us to understand the things that we're supposed to understand and just go into this next year as a renewed and a refreshed people. God, help us to forget about the past. Help us to be very intentional about that. Help us to remember Jesus and all of the wonderful things that He has done. And to pursue that prize that you have laid out before us. Thank you for that, God. We give you praise in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can I have a couple of guys help me serve communion? Receive the things, please just hold them. I'll read through the scripture and then we can all take communion together. First Corinthians chapter 11 says, starting in verse 23, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. On the night that he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, also he took the cup after supper and said, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of sin against the body and the blood of the Lord. Let a person examine himself. In this way, let him eat the bread and drink from the cup. For whoever eats and drinks without recognizing the body eats and drinks judgment on himself.'" Lord Jesus, as we take a moment and examine ourselves, I thank you that everything that happened from the beginning of creation until now is forgiven for those in Christ Jesus. Your word says that there is therefore now no condemnation for us, that nothing can separate us. God, we come to you this morning repentant of sins and hopeful for a future in you, thankful for the promises that you've made. God, we give you praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's receive communion together. Started the year outright with worship and praise in church. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious. Be a blessed people. Go out and bless others. Be different this year. Grow some. And we'll see you next week. Friday night Bible study, Wednesday night children and youth service. Hope to see you there.